Good morning.
Morning.
How great it is to be here this morning. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we open this morning. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for a wonderful day and just a time, great time to gather together to worship you, to lift up your name, saying thank you for all that you've done in our lives and continue to do. May we come at your feet and just give all that we are dealing with all up to you. May we continue to always lift up your name so high, knowing that you are great and you are good. And all this we do pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus is our foundation, and a strong foundation he is. We have to keep that central, because if we don't have him as our foundation, all of our life we will fail. We have to keep that in mind. We try to do things on our own knowledge, our own wisdom, the knowledge of the world. All that will fall away, though. That's why we turn to Jesus. That's why he is our solid rock. Let's continue for the next song, Waiting Here for You. Let's bow our heads. Most great God, creator of the known and the unknown of this universe, we do indeed thank you for such a great time to worship you and praise you. We ask that our minds act like sponges. May they absorb all the words that you have to give us and all the truth that they are. And we ask that our lives be adapted to fit the mold of Jesus' teachings and that we are able to continue to spread his love infectiously throughout this world. And all this we do pray in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Maybe I want to highlight a couple brief announcements here with you before we continue this time of worship here today. We're going to send around the clipboards for Vacation Bible School, and so if you are feeling led or you would like more information of how you can be a part of this wonderful ministry, I know it seems like June is so far away, but friends, next Sunday is March, and so it will be here before we know it. So I'm going to send these around, and if you would like to sign up, please do, and then Rachel can be in touch with you and give you more details. Also, in your bulletin, you will notice a Easter flower order form, and at the top of that, if you would like to purchase a flower, the kind of flower that you would like to purchase, please mark that, and whether it's in honor or in memory of, types of flowers are at the bottom. You can choose this year lilies, daffodils, and I don't even know how to pronounce that one, or tulips. So I am not a flower person. So, but all proceeds from this will go towards capital improvements here at Trinity. And I'll say that again. All proceeds from this will go towards capital improvements here at Trinity. We have been working on different things, and some of the classrooms, you'll probably notice, they're a little bit brighter. We've changed out some of the bulbs to LED bulbs in the hope that the electric bill will get smaller, the lights will be a little brighter, and we will be a little more efficient. And so the proceeds from this will go towards other projects like that here at Trinity United Methodist Church. Also, you'll notice the full sheet page in your bulletin, and I want to highlight just a couple, and if I were to highlight all of these, we'd be here all afternoon. So we are busy. There's much going on, and so the first one, confirmation class makeup dates. If you have a young person in your family that was going to attend these makeup dates, please see me after the service, and I'll give you an update as to where things stand on that. Also, March 11th at Faith is UMCOR, and UMCOR stands for United Methodist Committee on Relief. And Faith does a lot of supporting the missions of the denomination. Historically, we have not, but I want to point this out to all of us. And they are having one great hour of sharing, and if you would like to give to this mission. Now, what this does within the United Methodist denomination is they have so much infrastructure in countries all around the world that in times of tragedy or disasters, the governments many times will go to the United Methodist denomination and say, hey, can you distribute these aid packages? Can you distribute these food, you know, boxes or what have you? And so that's what UMCOR is. It's the United Methodist Committee on Relief, where they target those areas around the world that are going through severe drought or famine, or they've had a natural disaster, earthquakes, and then it goes into those areas and it distributes the aid that is needed. And so if you would feel led to be part of that, you can simply mark on your envelope how much you are giving towards UMCOR, and we will make sure that that gets to the right place. March 18th at Faith, we have youth group coming up again from 4 to 5:30 p.m. for all youth in grades 6 through 12. And then make note of the other announcements. I'm just going to highlight the Easter extravaganza coming up on Saturday, March the 24th. We are in need of wrapped candy. And if you would bring those candies in and simply mark them for the Easter extravaganza and leave them in the kitchen, we'll make sure that they, you know, get to the proper place. Make note of the other announcements, and as God leads you, may you be found to be faithful and obedient in serving Him in the ways that He has called you to. Children's Church is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fourth grade. We have a special ministry prepared especially for you, and may we turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
This reading is found in Ephesians 2, verses 11 through 22. You can follow along on page 1819 in your pew Bibles. Therefore, remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in His flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in Himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross by which He put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus Himself as the chief cornerstone. In Him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in Him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by His Spirit. This is the word of God. Will ushers please come forward to receive the offering?
Kind, eternal, ever-loving Heavenly Father, giver of all good things, we do thank You for all the many blessings that You so graciously grant unto us each and every day. As part of those blessings, Father, we placed on Your altar this morning our gifts, our tithes, and our offerings, asking Your blessing upon them. Bless them and multiply them into Your service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Years ago, when I was graduating high school, I was 18 years old, and had the Army, Marines, Navy, and Air Force recruiters on my doorstep. And truth be told, I wanted to go to the military and serve because my grandfather was in the service during World War II. My father served during the Vietnam era, and I thought, surely this is God's desire for me. However, my parents put their foot down, and just because I was an 18-year-old kid and I simply did not want to be disobedient to my mom and my dad, I listened to them. That's kind of a a strange thing in our world. Amen? So I listened to Mom and Dad, and they said, look, you're going to go to college. And I'm like, I don't want to go to college. How about I go just get a job in a steel mill or do something like that? I just wanted to go to work and make money and be able to buy whatever I wanted to buy. And they're like, no, you're going to college. So during that time, everything to me was football, and that was life to me, and I was all about it, you know, doing everything that I could do to improve my skills. So I thought to myself, and I even went to Mom and Dad, and I said, hey, you know what, if you're going to make me go to college, I'm going to go to a college that I can play. And not just a college that I can play and be on, like, the practice team, the scout team, but a college that I have a legitimate chance to see the field. That's what I wanted. I knew that Ohio State or Michigan or some of the Big Ten schools, I knew that they were just out of the question. I mean, you can tell by my stature, you know, I just wouldn't have had a shot. So anyway, I end up in this small Division III college, and then I set out to be a letterman. And truth be told, I ended up being a four-year letterman. So I saw the field. The second year, every year you would get a gift. You would get something on the banquet at the end of the season to acknowledge that you were a letterman. And so the first year we got this red coat, and I remember wearing it all winter and bundling up, and I didn't care how cold it was because it meant that I was a freshman and I lettered. The second year I got the letterman's jacket, nice leather sleeves and everything like that, and I loved it. I loved it because I fit in. I had this insatiable desire in my soul to connect, to belong, to be a part of something that was bigger than myself. So I'm wearing this letterman's jacket proudly, walking to and from class and going to my closet every day that I'd leave and put that thing on, going to the dining hall and liking it. Till one day, I was on my way to class, and I'm walking by this dormitory. I'm all by myself. Group of other students, and I'll call them fringe students, were sitting on the porch, and they began to jeer and taunt me. You see, the school that I attended, there was this moral war going on. I'll say it that way. I did not act or react, but it made me know what it is to feel on the outside. Several other times in my life, and most recently in 2014, when we went down to Mexico, we were, you know, serving the youth up on the side of a mountain, and we walk around this building, and there's probably 40 kids there. And before this one little girl knew what she was doing, she says, oh, gringos, when she saw us. And so we dismissed that as cute, as kind of funny, and we all just, you know, just kind of walked away from it. Now, a gringo in Latin American countries is a white person that has British descent or North American descent. It can also mean derogatory things. And so once again, based upon the actions of a child, I felt I'm on the outside. Several years before that, I was asked to be the best man in my friend Troy's wedding. And he was marrying, his bride was of Indian descent. Her family was from the country India. And so they had an engagement party, and it was a big thing. That was their tradition. And so I was asked to go to this engagement party and offer a prayer, and they were all Christians, and offer a somewhat of a toast, of a speech. So once again, I'm like the only white person in the building. Friends, I found stuff in my heart that I didn't know was there. In a text this morning, we're finishing up the Peacemaker series. And in our text, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. And this is the church that Jesus, in the book of Revelation, he calls them out and he says, you're doing all these great and wondrous things, but yet you have this that you're not doing, and you have lost your first love. You've lost your first love. And so in this second chapter, the Apostle Paul begins to tell the church at Ephesus who they are and what God has been up to, who they are in Christ. In him, you have been redeemed. In him, you have been united. I mean, you can look at chapter 1 and chapter 2. In him, you have been purchased. In him, you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. But the brass tacks, where the rubber meets the road, in verse 11 through 22. You see, in Paul's day, you had two groups of people. You had the Jewish people, and they were the accepted people, and they were viewed to be nearer or closer to God. And then you had the Gentiles. And if you're here this morning, and if you are not of Jewish descent, you are a Gentile, as I am. And so the Gentiles, when they wanted to worship the true God, they would have to approach the temple worship, and they were held on the outside. You see, there was a literal wall that prevented them from approaching the Holy of Holies. And so you had the inner court, which Jewish men could go into. You had the outer court, which Jewish women could enter. And then you had the court beyond that, where you and I would be. We would be standing there looking at a wall. We would be knowing and acknowledging exactly what it would feel like to be on the outside. Now, if you're like me, from time to time in your life, you felt that feeling. And yet we are part of the majority race in America. And if you're like me, when you feel that feeling, it's not a very comfortable feeling. In fact, it causes you to step back and say, whoa, what just happened here? And the Gentiles in Paul's day, in Jesus' day, they would feel that every single time that they wanted to worship. They would feel that every single day. They would be looked down upon because they were not, quote unquote, of the right race. And so the Apostle Paul, he speaks to the reality, and we see this reality in verses 19, 20, 21, and 22. I'm going to read these again. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with God's people, and you are members of God's household. You are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You see, that's the reality. In Christ, you are a member of his household. In Christ, you have been brought in. But don't miss what God had to do. You see, in our world, there's Gentiles too. And I'm not talking about you and me. In our world, there are the people that churches hold out at arm's length. In our world, there are people that our society says, you are no longer clean. You are no longer acceptable. In our world, we do that, whether we like it or not. We simply say, you don't measure up. We simply say, you're not on the in crowd. That's why racism still is prevalent today. That's why we have these debates going back and forth. That's why you have terrorism. You have these ideologies. Because simply we hold people out. Now, I'm going to say the same thing that I said down the road here. If Trinity is going to be the church that I want Trinity to be, it's going to be the church that God wants Trinity to be. If faith is going to be the church that I want faith to be, it's faith is going to be God wants faith to be. You see, this is not my agenda. This is God's desire. And sadly, it's been stated that the most segregated hour in America is held on Sunday morning. Ouch. You see, who the Gentiles are, I can go back to the church that I was at before I came here. And truth be told, the reason why I left that church was because God put on my doorstep free ministry. I didn't go looking for it. God put it on my doorstep. And once the leadership found out that I was meeting with this group of men on Thursday nights, and it started with five of us, and then it grew into 16 to 20, and these guys are coming to Christ, and they're repenting, and they're being baptized, and God's at work. The leadership looks at me and says, "We didn't hire you to work with them." Oh. Really? To which I responded, "Okay, I'll shut it down." They said, "You will?" I said, "Yeah, I'll shut it down here. We'll hold it Thursday nights down the road. You can't tell me what I can do on my free time, right?" They didn't know what to say. Then they backtracked. No, it's okay. And I was totally serious. I knew when I had that conversation with the leadership of that church that my time was limited over there. I knew that their heart was not the heart of God. I knew that it was a separation between my desire to follow God's will to build up one church. You see, you can scour the Gospels and you will see that the Jesus of the Bible was always about the marginalized, the weak, and the outcast of society. The lepers standing outside the city wall, ringing a bell, yelling, "Unclean, unclean," to announce to all those who are passing by to stay away. Jesus does what? He walks over and he touches them. And yet in our world, we do the same. We separate and we create these feelings of, "You don't measure up. You're not good enough. You haven't had this experience or that experience. You're not like us, and therefore you don't belong here." Ouch. You know what God says? He says, "No. Even while the rest of the world was running away from you and me, because the scripture says when you and I were enemies of God, when you and I were being held out of worshiping God, because we're Gentiles, right? We were on the outside of that wall. We couldn't go in if we wanted to. We weren't permitted to go in." It's told of a Jewish rabbi when a lady approached him and said, "Hey, I want to worship the true God. What must I do?" And he says, "Go away. There's no hope for you," and slams a door in her face. Ouch. Heaven forbid for us to close the door on anyone. You see, even while we were enemies, the scripture says even while we were darkness, even while we were the poor, the marginalized, the outcast of society, you know what God did for you and for me? He stepped toward us. He stepped out of heaven and cloaked himself in humanity and came toward us, even when we were appalling, even when our stench of our sin rose to the highest of the heavens. God says, "I love you and I'm stepping toward you." What gives us the right to think that we can hold somebody back from coming to Christ? We don't have the right, friends. Because God's will is this. It's found in verse 22. "And in Jesus, you also are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." And you also are being built together to become a dwelling of God by his Spirit. Do you realize that the world, it has so much messages coming at it of isolation, separation, and division? That's the message of the arch enemy of your soul and mine, the devil. He seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. He wants to divide and conquer. He wants to pull us out from the fellowship of our brothers and sisters in Christ. He wants to do that so that he can gain control over your life and mine. But the truth of the matter is if we will allow God to build us together into a spiritual household where he will dwell. You know what kind of message this would send, Gibsonburg? I'm going to share with you the message. A couple weeks ago, I met with an individual, and this individual has familiarity with these two churches. This is the image, friends. This individual has familiarity with Trinity and Faith both. And they had heard the vision that I shared, and they began to share back with me. And then they said one statement to me that I'll never forget. I said, "You're aware of the class system, right?" I said, "What do you mean?" "You're aware of the class system between the two churches, right?" "Nope, I wasn't." "Ouch." You see, what's before us right now, this day, and the months to come, and the years following, this is what's before us. The privilege and the opportunity to show this community something different. The image, the perspective, the perception of Trinity and Faith is that we are so different that there is no uniting us. And so my question is this. If we truly are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, can we do anything less than be united? Can we? I think not. The greatest message to this community that is before us is this. Whoa, this is... You mean to tell me these two churches that there are class systems in both of them? Oh, they're getting along? Oh, they're... How does that work? I'll tell you how it works by the Spirit of God. Building you and me together into the Spirit of God's household. That's how it works. You see, my hope for Trinity, my hope for Faith is this, is that no matter who darkens that door, you see, at the last church that I was at, the leadership, they never saw this, but I would meet the men and eventually women when they would come on Thursday nights, and literally, I'm telling you, friends, these people, they would be standing there physically shaking, scared to death to come into a church. Scared to death that they would be judged. Scared to death that they would be ridiculed. Scared to death that they wouldn't measure up. How sad. The foot of the cross is the great equalizer. The foot of the cross is the great equalizer of everybody. When you and I meet at the foot of the cross, when we meet at the foot of Calvary, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither Scythian nor barbarian. There is neither male nor female. There is nothing but Jesus and Christ crucified, and you and me at the foot of the cross worshiping Jesus in unity, because it's all about Jesus and not about us. It's all about Christ and not about us. My hope for all of us here at Trinity and our brothers and sisters down the street at Faith is that we would fully realize what it means to be built up together, to become that dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit, where people enter those doors and they stop and they say, "Whoa, what's going on here? There's something different." That's what we have before us, friends. The greatest privilege, the greatest opportunity, the greatest honor that you and I could ever have to rectify a wrong image into this community. Now, some of you might not like that, but that's God's will, not mine. See, God desires for you and I to be one. John 17, Jesus prayed 3 times. I pray, Lord, that they would be one as you and I are one. Now, I'm here to tell you, positionally in Christ, you and I are already united. But practically, we don't have to be. And that it will be always sin. We must be united if we're going to move forward. If we're going to witness to this community. I have struggled and struggled for 5 years wondering why this church won't grow. Now I know. The image in this community is unhealthy. It's unhealthy. And it may not be true, but perception is reality, friends. And in order for this church to grow, we must change that image. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you, Heavenly Jesus, for your goodness and grace. Father, we thank you that by your blood, the blood of Jesus, you brought us near, even when we were far away. By your blood, you united us, not only with each other, but with you, O God. We thank you for your plan of building us up into a household where you, O God, will dwell by your Spirit. Oh, Father, that's our desire. That's our will, our heart's will, to bend toward you that you might fully reign in our hearts, minds, and souls, and in this place too. May you lead us, we pray. May we be found to be faithful and obedient as we seek your face and chase after you. We love you, Jesus. We bless you now. In the holy name of Christ, we do pray. Amen. As we close this time of praise and worship, if you would, please stand, and may you join with us as we sing God of this City. There truly are greater things left to be done. There are greater things to be done here in Gibsonburg and the surrounding areas. That's God's desire. That's his heart and his yearning to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, to build his kingdom here in this place, in this village, and the surrounding areas. May you and I be the agents of love. May we be the workers of peace. May we be the ones who stand for truth. And may we be the witnesses to those who are watching. May you and I, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, may we all go in peace. Amen.